Open up first to Matthew chapter 7. I want to show you some things here that can kind of, I don't know, definitely help. Have you, well, let me put it like this. Some of you may know, some of you may not have figured this out yet, but this is not the easiest church to attend. Some of you are laughing at that. This is not the easiest church to attend. And I don't make any excuses for that. What I'm going to do is show you in the Word why, one of the reasons why, this is not the easiest church to attend. And I'm also going to be in the process of this, what I'm going to show you, explaining to you one of the reasons why that this church has not grown the way some of you maybe think it should have grown. So let's just begin looking here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Now Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." Okay, now, before I go any further in this, I want you to look at your Bible. I'm going to show you something in mine, and I don't know if yours will be like this or not. Do you see here at the beginning, for those of you that can see this, right above verse 13, there's a break. Right before enter ye, okay. How many of you have something above your verse 13? Okay, good. Maybe half the people here. Now, right above verse 15, there's another break. You see that? How many of you have a break above your verse 15? Okay, yeah, I know you do. Same Bible. What about verse 21? Is there a break above your verse 21? Anybody? Okay. What about above verse 24? Is there a break above your verse 24? Okay, bad move. Because this is all one story. It's one continual thought, and I'm going to show this to you as we go through here. Now, what we're going to do, just to kind of preface this, we're going to be looking at this from a born-again perspective, okay? So it's important to keep that in mind. Because if you go back and you Greek all these words, it's not exactly 100% from a born-again perspective, okay? So those of you Greekers, I already know this ahead of time. So in other words, don't write me any letters. But we're going to look at this from a born-again perspective. First off, verse 13. Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Okay, now, that word narrow, let me see if I can create an image for you of what this word means. Has anybody here been to Rock City? You know, all the barns along I-75, see Rock City, bumper stickers. Anybody ever been to Rock City? Okay, now, do you remember as you were walking through Rock City, there are two places where these, and I do, you know, this is a plug for Rock City. It is a cool place. It really is neat. Way up on top of a mountain and all this other, just it's cool. Anyway, there are two places in Rock City where these rocks, these huge, massive, who knows how many hundreds of tons rocks, are so close together to where, you know, you're not going to walk through holding hands with Sweetie. You have to almost like turn sideways to get through some of this. You know what I'm, those of you that were there, you know what I'm talking about. And one of them was called, what, Fat Man Squeeze or something like that. And I'm not trying to be mean toward anybody, but, you know, some folks, physically, they are too big. There's no way they could get through. And if they tried to force themselves through, we'd need to get some PAM or WD-40 to try and get them out. Because, it is extremely narrow. Okay, this word here, narrow, that's kind of the image that this word's presenting. Meaning that once you start in, and let me tell you what, when you get into Rock City, it's like there's one way in and one way out. And it's not, if you want to go back, you're going to get squeezed again if you try to turn around and go back. Well, likewise, this word narrow, it's not just, you know, okay, it's narrow. It's talking about narrow. Meaning, if you've got a lot of baggage, you're not going to make it through. Thinking of the illustration of Rock City again. You're not going to go through wearing, you know, backpacks and all this. You have to take that stuff off and like carry it in front of you or something. You're not going to fit through with all that stuff on you. This word narrow means that you can't take stuff with you through it. That's the image of this word narrow. Very restrictive. Very deliberate. Very, this is it and no other way. Narrow. He says, enter ye at the straight gate. Now there is a wide gate. And there's going to be a whole lot of people. Many there be. Which will go on this Broadway. What can you do on the Broadway? On Broadway. What can you do on the Broadway? Okay. Just thought I'd throw that in. What do you do on Broadway? Well, on the Broadway, what can you take with you anything you want? Absolutely. But he says that this thing leads to destruction. But if you take this narrow way, what is it going to do? It leads unto life. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay, if I want the abundant life, then I've got to be on the narrow way. Do you see this? In other words, I can't take with me on the narrow way whatever I think is going to produce the abundant life. I'm only going to be able to go the narrow way with whatever is on the narrow way. Whatever's on that narrow way is a part of the abundant life. Yeah, but I don't understand that, Brother Martin. It seems like the abundant life means you're going to have a lot of stuff. Yeah, you are. It'll fit on that narrow way. Your stuff won't fit. His will. He came that you might have life. So whatever He gives you on this narrow way is going to be something that you need to help you encounter, experience, and live more fully that abundant life. But He says there is another way you can take. And this other way is wide, it is broad, and it gives you the opportunity to carry just about anything that you want. Well, okay, Jesus, you got me convinced. I'm supposed to go the narrow way. I guess that's just what I'll do. But what's the next thing He says? Verse 15. What's the first word?
Beware.
Beware. Beware. So is He starting to give us a warning? What did he just get through telling us? You got a choice of two ways to go. One way is narrow, one way is broad. The broad way is going to lead to destruction. The narrow way is going to lead you to life. In other words, it's going to lead you to everything that I am. In him was life, the life was the light of men, John 1:4. It's going to lead you to everything that I am. Now that you know you've got two ways to go, the next thing that you need to know is beware. Beware of what, Jesus? False prophets. Oh, okay, Jesus, I guess I better beware of false prophets. He says, yeah, well, let me tell you what they're going to do, what it's going to be like. These false prophets are going to come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Okay, now what's the image of a ravening wolf? You know, snarling, drooling, growling, ready to just rip you to shreds, right? Keep reading. He says, you'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree, he switched from wolves and sheep to trees. He's using natural examples to try to help us understand what he's saying. He says, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, which would be false prophet, looks like a sheep, inward is a wolf, okay? But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. All right, now what's verse 18 telling us? Verse 18 is telling us that you've got two trees, right? Well, we see two trees in the whole thing here, but we've got two trees. Now, one tree brings forth good fruit. The other tree brings forth bad fruit, right? How are you going to tell the difference? How are you going to know the difference between a good tree and a bad tree? By the fruit. In other words, when you look at it, you can't tell the difference. You understand what I'm saying? You can go out to it right now, good time of the year, you can go out to a fruit farm and look at all the trees. You don't know which one's going to produce good fruit and which one's going to produce bad fruit until the fruit starts to come out. Some of the fruit might be scrawny, weak. You know, you don't want to eat that. You're definitely not going to. You're just going to cut the tree down, right? Because it's wasting space. So until the tree starts producing fruit, you don't know the difference. He says you're going to have false prophets that are going to come to you in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing. What does the body refer to the body of Christ as? Sheep. Okay? You're going to have false prophets in sheep's clothing. So that means if you're going to have false prophets in sheep's clothing, then there must be right prophets. False and real. Correct? Both going to be in sheep's clothing. But the false ones are ravening wolves on the outside or on the inside? Inside. How do you know a bad tree from a good tree? Fruit. By the fruit. In other words, whatever is in the bad tree eventually gets produced outwardly as bad fruit. Whatever is in the sheep's clothing as a false prophet eventually comes forth as bad fruit. Do you see the analogy that Jesus is working here? Okay, now look. He says, but a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down, hewn down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, what did he just get through talking about in verses 13 through 14? Narrow path, wide path, correct? Then the next thing he says is, beware of false prophets. Why should I beware of false prophets? Because the false prophets are going to lead you down the broad path. The real prophets are going to lead you down the narrow path. The false prophets are going to bear bad fruit, corrupt fruit, which leads you to destruction. The real prophets are going to lead you down the narrow path, which will lead you to life. Do you see what Jesus is trying to get across here in verses 15 through 20? How that he is continuing the story about the paths? He's telling you to choose the right path. How are you going to know what path to choose? How are you going to know? Well, I'll know by the fruit. How are you going to know the difference between good and wrong fruit? How are you going to know the difference between the real and the counterfeit? How are you going to know? Unless you've been exposed to the real so that you can compare it to the counterfeit. Do you see what I'm saying? The false prophets are in sheep's clothes. They're ravening wolves on the inside. Now this sounds like mean, evil, hateful, tear you to shreds kind of thing. That's not what he's talking about. Not from a natural perspective. From God's perspective, that is what he's talking about. But from a natural perspective, that's not what he's talking about, and I can show you. He says again, verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Verse 21, now see, these breaks make it sound like he's changing the subject. He's not changing the subject. He's still talking about real and false prophets. What are the false prophets doing? Preaching. What are the real prophets doing? Preaching. How are you going to know the difference? By the fruit that they bear. What is the fruit that they're bearing? It's the teaching they produce to you that's going to lead you down the narrow or down the broad path. And Jesus continues this teaching in verse 21, and he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day. Many who? Many of the people in verse 21. Many will say to me in that day. Now listen, look closely at what they're saying. Lord, Lord, have we not, what's that next word? Prophesied how?
In my name.
Does it say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in our name? No, it says, have we not prophesied in your name? What did Jesus say in verse 15? Beware of what? False prophets. And so down in verse 21, or verse 22, he says, listen, these guys are going to stand before me, face to face and eye to eye. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Not our name. In your name, have we not, and in thy name, cast out devils? And in thy name, done many wonderful works? In other words, the verse 15 through 20 false prophets that he's talking about are the ones that are going to stand before him. And in that day, he says, they're going to stand before me in judgment. But they're not going to be able to enter in. And they are going to argue their point. And they're going to say, Lord, I don't understand this. Jesus. Jesus, we prophet. Now, this thing, false prophets, and we prophesy. Don't think in terms of thus saith the Lord in 30 days, in 5 years, future telling. All right, prophesying. Think in terms of declaring the word of the Lord. Okay? Think of it from that perspective, because that's what this is talking about. It's not talking about prophesying the future. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? All right, now what we're going to do is substitute the phrase preaching and or teaching for the word prophecy, okay? To clarify this. Lord, Lord, have we not preached? Have we not taught in your name? Okay, what does that tell us? It tells us that these false prophets, they're not coming and exalting other gods. They're not telling you to worship Muhammad or to worship Buddha. They're not telling you to get into New Age. They're not telling you to go out west and smoke a peace pipe or something. They're not trying to take you away from Jesus. What they're doing is standing up and preaching in the name of Jesus. Do you see this? Do you see what he's saying here? And he's saying, listen, the false prophets from God's perspective, I know we could include those who would try to take you away from Jesus, but what he's talking about here are people that stand up in pulpits and they preach and they tell you about Jesus, but the fruit they're producing is not narrow path fruit, it's broad path fruit. In other words, they are giving you corrupt doctrine that is going to lead to destruction, not to life. This is what he's trying to get across in this passage. This is why I asked the question a moment ago, how are you going to know the difference? It's because the false prophets aren't preaching in the name of somebody else. They're preaching in the name of Jesus. They're using the name of Jesus. And he says, listen, haven't we preached? Haven't we taught? Haven't we tried to get people to focus on you? Not us. You, Jesus. Haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we done wonderful things? And what's Jesus going to say? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now he's warning about this. Do you see it? He is telling, this is prophetical for the body of Christ. Because he's talking about a path that leads to life. He is speaking beyond the cross in this passage. And he says, listen, there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. The narrow way, you can only get through that narrow way if you leave off all the junk. Because the narrow way leads to life and life more abundantly. Now you better watch out for false prophets though. False preachers and teachers. Because here's what they're going to do. They're going to stand up in your pulpits. They're going to come to your crusades. You're going to listen to them on the radio. You're going to buy their books, buy their tapes, all this other. And they are going to be preaching and teaching in my name. Because you see, you're not going to be so dumb that you're going to listen to somebody that says, worship Buddha. So I'm not worried about that. I'm talking about you people who have taken a step onto the path. And you come to a place of a wide gate, narrow gate. One is going to lead you deeper into the life that I have given you, and the other is going to be broad and leads to destruction. And there are going to be false prophets, false preachers and teachers, and they're going to be standing up preaching and teaching in my name. They are going to be giving you information that they will tell you came from me. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Martin? Because they're arguing with Jesus, didn't we preach and teach in your name? Didn't we do great things in your name? So they're not he's not talking about people that want to lead you away from Jesus. He's talking about people that are going to try and point you to Jesus. Here's what they're going to do. Use it again, thinking back to how this thing started with the path. They're going to say, guys, here's the path. Now this is the way we have to do it. This is the way it's supposed to be done. This is we've heard from God. The Lord gave me a message last night while I was driving home. Preach, preach, preach. Teach, teach, teach. Can sound good. Jesus, Holy Ghost, Father, Bible. Sounds good, sounds good. People get excited. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Talk about it for days to come. Buy the tape. Make copies. Give to all their friends. Whoo, that sounds good. I told you about the time I was in a service one time, guy got up, everything he said, whew, boy was it good. Except it was wrong. I'm thinking, man, this stuff is so good, if only it were right. If only it were right. It sounded so good, and there was enough scripture in it to where it sounded, boom, right on, man. And people were, whoo, yeah, whoo, hallelujah. Glory to God. And the next day, I was around some folks that had been in that service. Did you hear that last night? Oh, wasn't that the greatest thing you've ever heard in your life? Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, you know what that means? That means that from that point on, if they grabbed a hold of that message, they're walking on the path that message set before them. And no matter how good it sounded, and no matter how much Jesus was included in that message, it was a path that would lead them to destruction if they tried to apply that teaching to their life. Problem was, they didn't know the difference. Why didn't they know the difference? It's because they never heard the truth. And people are eating corrupt fruit and don't even know it. Because the preachers and the teachers are preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. Can you see the warning that he's giving? So how are you going to know the difference? The answer is in here. I'll show you. How will you know the difference? Well, he says in verse 23, talking about these people that have been preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus and everything, the false prophets. I mean, you know, Jesus makes the statement in verse 23, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity. See, from human perspective, iniquity is adultery and drugs and drunkenness. And God says, okay, yeah, that's iniquity. However, you need to understand that from my perspective, iniquity is wrong doctrine. Problem is, I'm up here in heaven. I look down and I see this. But you people down there don't have a clue. And you're accepting what I have defined as iniquity as being right doctrine. And you don't understand. You guys just don't get it down there. It's leading you down a broad path of destruction. He says, if you're going to walk the narrow path of life and experience the fullness of the life that I've given you, you know what you have to do? You have to unload the iniquity doctrine. Because as long as you hold on to that stuff, you're going to reach a narrow point on the path of life and you're going to be stuck right there and go no further. Because as you try to hold on to the iniquity doctrine, it's going to keep you from walking in the life of truth. Now look here. He says in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now wait a minute. They're preaching and teaching in His name. How can He say He never knew them? Trust me. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're trying to preach and teach, if you're called to preach and teach, even if you think you're called to preach and teach, God's trying to get truth to you. He's trying to get it to you. He's doing everything He can to get truth into your life. You say, well, can you prove that? Did Jesus not die for you? Didn't He say, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly? But God sent His Son to die. Jesus dies. You accept Him as Lord and Savior. And then all of a sudden God says, well, but you're not going anywhere in this thing. I'll let you live with wrong belief. I'll let you preach wrong stuff. Now, God is doing everything He can to get truth into people's lives. It's just that the choices we make either open the door for truth or open the door for iniquity. One of the two. So Jesus makes the statement here. He says, I didn't know you. How can you say you didn't know me? Because I spent all your life on earth trying to get truth to you, and you kept walking down the wrong path. You refused to let me deposit truth into you, and you stood up and you preached as a false prophet, and you led other people down that broad path. You think I'm proud of you? But I did great things in your name. Okay, yeah, thanks for all the great things that you did in my name. I still don't know you. It's because you turned your back on me. And you walked away from truth and you embraced broad path doctrine. And He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Okay, Jesus, you got me scared now, man. I want to be on the narrow path, the straight path, the right gate. I want to do this. You said beware of false prophets. I want to beware of false prophets, Jesus. I don't want to get caught up in this wrong stuff. And apparently, based on what you're telling me right here, I'll know them by the fruit they bear. But if I just look at them, I won't know. Thing is, Jesus, I know the difference in the natural between good fruit and bad fruit. I can look at a tree and say if those are good oranges or bad oranges, good apples or bad apples, good watermelons or bad watermelons. Yes, I know watermelons don't grow on trees. I just check and see if you're there. I can look at the tree and know the difference in the natural. But in the realm, he say, Jesus interrupts and says, well, how do you know that? How do you know the difference? Well, it's easy, Jesus, because I've been to the store and I've seen good apples. Oh, so now you have a point of reference, right? And you know the difference between the good apple and the bad apple. Yeah, Jesus. So I know that. So how am I, Jesus, how do I know? How do I know? He says, well, I'll tell you. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, Jesus said, into these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. Trust me, Jesus, they are still astonished at Your doctrine. What's happening to the house that gets built upon the not hearing the sayings? The house gets built upon the sand. What happens to it? What's it say in verse 13? Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. What's it say in verse 26 and 27? The house falls apart. The house is destroyed. Can you see he's still talking about the same thing in this? Okay, what's the stuff about the house, the sand, the sayings, the rock, and all this other? He says, I'm going to tell you how to differentiate between the two, between a right prophet and a false prophet. He says, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Now he's using a natural analogy. Let me give you a different one. Which built his life, ministry, and belief system upon a rock. What's the rock? My sayings. The rock is his sayings. It's not Jesus. The rock is his sayings. Whosoever heareth these sayings and doeth them, it's like a person builds his house, his life, and everything about it on a rock. Because now you've got a foundation, my sayings, to build your life, your ministry, and everything else, what you preach, what you teach. The storms are going to come. You're going to be attacked, 25. But what's going to happen is, because you're established on truth, you are going to be able to weather the storms. Okay, how are Christians not weathering the storms? It's because they're building their lives, ministries, and everything about them on the teachings of the false prophets. And it's all been taught in the name of Jesus. How does this work? Well, I'll give you an example. I just don't know why God didn't heal Susie. Okay, what's the word say? What did Jesus say? What's in here? What? Okay, remember in John chapter 16, verses like 12, 13, or 13 and 14, Jesus made the statement that I have much to say to you, but you're not able to bear it. However, when He, the Holy Ghost comes, He'll lead you into all truth. Okay, remember that? So in essence, what we have here, this book, I mean, if you want to know about the sayings of Jesus, the Holy Spirit picked up where Jesus left off and He gave us the rest of the New Testament. Okay? So, really, you can't separate the book of Corinthians, either one of them, from the sayings of Jesus. That's what they are. Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself, but what He hears, that's what He'll speak. So, Jesus tells the Holy Spirit tells people, they put it down, we've got the Bible. So now He says, he that hears these sayings of mine and you do them, you'll be like the person that builds his house upon the rock, storms, the attacks, all this kind of stuff comes, but you're going to stand. Because you're established upon truth. The truth of the narrow way. He says, however, you're going to have these other people. They're not going to hear. Correct me. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not. It isn't that they didn't hear. What are the false teachers doing? Preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. Okay? All right. Hears them and doesn't do them. But another way to put this, you know what it is they're hearing? The people in verse 26. Do you know what it is they're hearing? They're hearing the right prophets. They're hearing the truth teachers. Do you see this? They're hearing the truth teachers, but they're rejecting it. Now, why are they rejecting it? It's because they've embraced the doctrine of the false prophets. And they're walking down the wide path. And it seems to them to make more sense to walk down that wide path than it does to walk the narrow path. Because everything that they've heard, all the wide path doctrine, has been preached in the name of Jesus. And He says, listen, the people that do hear the truth from the right prophets, the right preachers and teachers, but reject it, they're building their lives on sand. Or they're building their lives on the thing that paves the wide path. And when the storms, the attacks, the problems come, they will not be able to stand. Oh God, I just don't know why you didn't heal Susie. Oh God, I just don't understand this. What are the sayings of Jesus? Well, the Bible says that by His stripes you were healed. Does it not? The Bible says that Jesus took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. Does it not? Oh God, I just don't know why you didn't deliver me. Oh God, I just don't know why. Well, you never know what God will do. In Jesus' name. See, this is broad path doctrine. This is broad path teaching. This is broad path. It leads to destruction. Thinking of it in terms as the Christian life here on this earth, okay, only thinking of it in those terms for the moment, the destruction means you do not conform to the image of Christ. The blessings don't start coming into your life. The full life of Christ. What's wrong? What is wide path doctrine? You need to be born again. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, etc., etc., etc. But All this Holy Ghost stuff passed away with the apostles. Wide path. Wide path. Healing's not for today. Wide path. Miracles aren't for today. Wide path. Jesus says, you've got a choice. These guys are going to come preaching and teaching. How do we know the difference? Hear the sayings of mine and do them. Okay? Let me show you something else real quickly here. Look over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Just a couple of pages over to the right. Matthew chapter 16. You're going to see, remember the rock thing? Remember how he said, you know, you hear my sayings, you do them? It's like building your house on the rock. Verse 13, when Jesus came across into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now look at this. Look what he says. Here's another rock, is it not? Okay, now look. He says, you're Peter upon this rock. What rock? The rock of Peter? He's building his church on Peter? Give me a break. No way. What's he building his church on? What is the rock? Revelation knowledge. My Father has revealed this unto you. And upon the things that the Father reveals unto you, that is what I'll build my church on. What's the Father revealed unto us? The sayings of Jesus. Right here it is in the Word. Okay? Amen. Now, what did Jesus say back over there a few moments ago? What we were reading in Matthew, he talked about, he that hears my sayings and does them is going to be like somebody who builds his house upon a rock. What does Jesus say? Upon this rock I will build my church. What rock, Jesus? The rock of my sayings. The rock of truth. The rock of revelation knowledge. The rock of what has originated in the presence of God that's supposed to be taught to the body of Christ. This is what I'll build my church on. This right here. Nothing else. This right here. Okay, now. Remember what it said about how that the people heard what Jesus said and they were astonished at his doctrine? And remember how I made the comment, Jesus, they're still astonished. You better believe they're still astonished. Let's think for a moment. Let's think only about what's in this book, okay? Jesus said, hear the sayings and do them. You're building your house upon narrow path foundation, okay? Jesus said, my sayings, revelation of the Father, this is what I'll build my church on. I will build my church using this word. Notice Jesus said, I'll build it. Our responsibility is to hear the sayings and do them. Then he does the building. You see this? What? Think of it this way. What did Paul write in 1 Corinthians chapter 14? If you pray in an unknown tongue, what are you doing? You're edifying yourself. There's another sermon in its own self there. Now, if I am going to hear the sayings and do them, and if I am going to guard against becoming a false prophet, I have the responsibility of, as I read this word, hearing spiritually the sayings of the Lord. Amen? Then I have the responsibility of turning around and revealing these sayings, just like what I've been doing here this morning. Are you with me? What could I do that would put you on a broad path? Okay, here's one example. I could tell you that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer for today. Could I not? I could tell you that praying in tongues is not something that you can do anytime you choose. In spite of the fact that Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 14, when I pray, meaning when I, by my choice, decide to pray in the Spirit, I'll be praying the mysteries of God. I'll speak unto God. My spirit will be speaking unto God. I'll be edifying myself. Jude says, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Since God obviously wants me to walk by faith and not by sight, that means I need to be built up on my holy faith. That means I need the ability to pray in the Spirit anytime that I want to, so that I can be built up on my most holy faith. See, these are things in the sayings of God. You know what? It might be that half the churches or more in this country just choked on the last 3 minutes of teaching. You know why? It's because it takes them off the broad path and puts them on the narrow path, but because they're clinging on to broad path doctrine, they can't make it through the narrow path. So what do? They turn around and they go back to the broad path. In other words, they've heard the sayings, but now they're not doing the sayings. Do you see this? Now let me give you another example. If I get into his sayings right here, I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and I go to Ephesians chapter 4, and what do I see? I see the ministry callings that have been established in the body of Christ. What are they? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, governments. Those are the ministry callings that I see in the body of Christ. All right? So therefore, it is my responsibility to hear that and then do it. And since I'm called to be behind the pulpit, it's my responsibility to deliver this to you. How can I put you on a broad path? By telling you that there is such a thing as the ministry calling of associate pastor.
But Brother Martin, we've got an associate pastor in our church.
Well, don't you go in there and start a riot because of what I'm saying. But what's in the Word?
Well, yeah, but no, man, like I said this morning, I don't want to hear about your butt.
What is in the Word?
Well, apostle, prophet.
Okay, then why would I teach anything else? Why? Why would I teach you that you might believe that you have the call of God on your life to the ministry of worship leader? Why would I tell you that if it's not in here? If it's not listed with apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, governments, worship leader, oh, not in there. It's amazing. Man adds it, but because man can't go back in and rewrite the Bible, what they do is they put an addendum. It's called their sermon notes. They put an addendum to Scripture.
Yes, the Word says, but you can also be called to.
Can you see how this is now broad path? You're not called, if I tell you that maybe God's called you to the ministry of nursery worker, broad path, because it's not in here. All churches need nursery workers. We understand this. And it is good to have a worship leader. I'm talking about what's in here. Are you catching on? Now, I could go on, give you more examples, but you could probably think of enough of your own. Remember at the beginning of the message how I talked about why it's difficult, why it could be difficult to attend this church? It's because, generally speaking, the body of Christ doesn't want to walk the narrow path. Think of this. How many times have any of you been in any of these services where things that I have shown you? Right now, this morning, did I not walk you almost word for word through a passage of Scripture and show you how that in some of your Bibles it was broken up as though it's a whole new thought, but I showed you how it's not new thoughts. It's one continuous thought and warning from Jesus as to what to do and what not to do. So what I did was go through essentially now, line upon line, precept upon precept, and show you some things from God's Word. My guess is some of you have never seen those things before. It's not because I'm any better than anybody else. It's just, you know, God says, here, let me show you this, and now you give it to them. So now, we have this, okay? We've seen this thing. But what happens is, so many people, they will sit, and they will have their Bible open, and I will, verse by verse, by line, by line, by line, show you what God is saying in His Word. But because they have their feet cemented on the broad path,
of an opposing doctrine, they reject it and walk out. Over the years, since I first started pastoring, there have been people that have left the churches that I've pastored for that very reason. It's because they don't want to accept the narrow path that leads to the abundant life. And what they do is embrace doctrines and teachings that are delivered to them in the name of Jesus. Half of the sermon may be right. 80% of the sermon may be right. But that 20% is what can kick you off track and get you messed up and get you on the broad path. See, I can preach and I can stand up and I can go you through the Word and I can show you all about how God wants you blessed, God wants you prosperous, and all these different things. And it's true. Those things are in the Word of God. I can show you why God wants you prosperous, spread the gospel, etc. and so forth. And so I go on, you know, for 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes of this, but then the last 10, 15 minutes of the message, I start telling you that the only way that you can be prosperous is if you sow a seed in the offering plate. But Brother Martin, it did. What's in here? What is in here? What's in this word? What did Jesus say? What is the word that we've received from God? But the guy on TV and the guy on the radio and the guy who's got the books, and they all say, listen, what's in here? What about, you talk about what everybody else has said. What's in here? Have you ever thought about going back to hear the teachings of Jesus? Do you understand? Are you getting this? Are you seeing what I'm saying? How that people are so quick to exalt the doctrines presented to them by people, but they don't go back to check it out to see if it stands the scrutiny of Jesus' sayings. Well, bless God, he don't believe in sowing seed. I'll just go to a church that puts me on the broad path. And that's what's happened. When people can't handle narrow path doctrine, they pack up and they leave. This is one of the reasons why this church has not grown the way that other churches have grown. Listen, guys, listen. I don't profess to be the best pastor, all right? I see qualities in other pastors. I think, man, I wish I was, you know, had more of that in me. But one thing that I tend to be, that you guys have caught on, I think, is a real stickler for continuity in Scripture. Contextual use of God's Word. And quite frankly, there are just too many Christians. Instead of talking about their butts, they need them kicked. It's because they don't want to follow the sayings of Jesus. They want to follow comfort doctrines that keep them in a comfort zone that they don't recognize is leading them down a path of destruction. I don't understand everything in this book yet. I don't. But you know what? The more I get into it, the more I pray in the Spirit, the more I learn, the more I know, the more I tell you. That's just like this message today. I thought, you know, okay, short, sweet, to the point. Well, it may be sweet and to the point, but it hadn't been short. That's because God kept showing me more in this and more in this. It's like I thought, okay, I'm ready to go. He says, well, keep reading. I keep reading. He said, see that? It's like, well, yeah, keep reading. Okay, well, see that? Yeah, okay, we see that? Yeah, okay, well, you see that? It's like, God, I thought there was going to be like short, sweet, to the point. It's getting longer, you know, it's like people have plans. Well, let them go to churches that will accommodate their plans. Broad path. Listen. Like I said, I don't know everything in this word. There are a lot of passages in here I'm still meditating on and trying to break through and grasp the understanding. But one thing I have learned is to leave it in context. One thing I have learned is to meditate on this. One thing I have learned is to reject the false prophet broad path doctrines in light of his sayings. You want to know why this church hasn't grown so much? You want to know why a lot of people haven't stayed around? Why a lot of people have come and visited for a few weeks, then they go and they never come back? You want to know why? I've just told you why. It's because they don't like me telling them they're wrong. Excuse me. Didn't I just walk you through Scripture? So who was telling you were wrong? and you got a problem with me? You prayed this out, didn't you? That's why you're not here now. Of course, they're not hearing this anyway.
They're not here.
You prayed this thing out, right? You've done what I told you to do more times than I can remember. Be like the Bereans. Search the Scriptures to see if these things be true. You've done what I told you to do, right? You've gotten with the Holy Spirit and spent time with Him to let Him confirm or deny what I'm showing you in the Word. You've done what I've told you to do, right? I pointed you back to intimacy with Jesus so that He can show you if I'm missing it or not. You've done that, right? And He showed you I'm missing it, right? And He told you that I'm missing it, and that's why you left. You know what? I'm just going to tell you something. In all my life, anybody that's ever left the church that I've been pastoring, not one person has ever come to me and told me, you know, you are way off on your doctrine. You are so screwed up, it's pathetic. You're leading people to a Kool-Aid party. Another Jim Jones. Nobody's ever said that. Nobody has ever said that. Again, it's not because I'm better than anybody else. It's just because I made a choice to do what Jesus said. And see, you make that kind of a choice. Anybody can make that choice. It's not me. Anyone in the body of Christ can make that choice. Any preacher, any pastor can make that choice. But what do you have? You have broad path churches. They're preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, and I'll tell you right now, they'll get a lot of people born again, but they're going to be setting them on a path that does not lead to abundant life. What it leads is to itching, ear-scratching, conscience-soothing, socially compatible, go-with-the-flow doctrines, beliefs, and activities. Look, if all I wanted was a church with a whole lot of people, there's a lot of stuff I could do. But you know what? I can't do that. I can't do that. There's too much in me that would just beat me up. I can't do that. So I have resigned myself that the church hasn't grown as quickly as what I would like. I'm going to tell you something else. This church hasn't grown as quickly as what God would like. So how do you know that? Because God wants people to know truth. Because God wants people on that narrow path. We've seen that in the Word right here today. Paul made a statement in closing. One more point. Turn over to Romans chapter 16. Another broad path, narrow path. Example. Remember, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, okay? So these are the sayings of God. Jesus is God, so these are the sayings of Jesus. Chapter 16 of Romans, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Verses 17 and 18. He is talking about the false prophets we just read about. They're preaching in the name of Jesus. He says, but they're not serving Jesus. Why not? Because if they were serving Jesus, they would be pointing people to the narrow path of His sayings. He says, they cause divisions. How do they cause divisions? Listen, anybody, now listen to this, guys. This is not an easy thing. Anyone who stands up and preaches and teaches anything that contradicts what's already been put in this Word is causing a division. I don't care how nice they are. I don't care how big their church is, how big their ministry is. If they preach and teach anything that goes against what we see in here, it's causing a division. A division where? In the body of Christ. He says they cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. What doctrine? Okay, what doctrine were they learning? Right here. The doctrine that God was giving to the apostles. So therefore, because we don't see anything else in Scripture, we don't see that God's going to give us any other doctrine aside from what's in here. Therefore, we can easily, safely, and correctly conclude that any doctrine that is preached which does not line up with the sayings of God is deceptive doctrine. And it will deceive the hearts of many. Many who? Christians. take them off the narrow path, put them on the broad path. Any, from God's perspective, any doctrine that doesn't line up with His sayings can only bring destruction in your life. If only His sayings can produce His life. See what I mean? And this message, see, what's so challenging about this message is the fact that it's so challenging. It's because so many people in the body of Christ don't want to hear this. Now, to sum all this up, what have I been saying to you today? What I've been saying is the sayings of Jesus. Get into the Word. What are the sayings of God? What is His Word saying? Do it. Do what the Word says. Preach what the Word says. Be instant in season and out, you know, as Paul wrote. The Word, what's in here? If it's not in here, it doesn't work. And this is why a lot of people can't hang around here. Well, it's not that they couldn't, it's just that they don't. You see, how many times, now think about this. Since the time you guys have been here, how many times have I walked you through Scripture and it's like the light went off? And you saw things in here that you hadn't seen before, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, praise God, I'm in the same way. God shows it to me, light goes off to me. Oh, wow, that's cool. Can't wait to tell everybody. What's bad is when He says, but wait. It's like, oh my God, I want to tell them now. I have to wait. Sometimes I have to wait months. Sometimes I've had to wait years before He finally says, okay, now's the time. Like, well, it's about time. You know why He does that? It's because He wants to perfect that message in me. One thing is, I don't recognize it hadn't been perfected yet. He wants to perfect the message in me before He turns me loose to share it. You don't know how many times I thought I had a sermon ready and He's changed it. Nope, not that one. This one. And there's times where He said, just stand up, open your mouth, start talking, and I'll take over. That stuff used to scare me. Oh my God, what if you don't? God is looking for people that will line upon line His Word as led by His Spirit so that the body of Christ is edified. That's what He's looking for. Anyone who will sell out to Him and do what He says, He gives information to them. Any pastor, any evangelist, any teacher, does not matter to Him. He doesn't even care really what shingle hangs outside the church. What's on the sign? It could say Nazarene, Methodist, but He doesn't care. Whatever, He doesn't care, as long as somebody will give Himself over. He deposits into them. They turn around, deposit into people, and walk the narrow path. So you know what? There's a good chance that over the space of time in your lives, you may invite people to come to church with you. People that talk about, I'm so hungry for God. They come in, they hear something that maybe you know is exactly what they needed to hear, and they don't come back. Why is that? You know. You now know. You now know. What does that mean for us? What it means is this. You know, you can't be looking at the numbers. You got to stay on the path. That narrow path that you cannot walk through with all the stuff, all the broad path doctrine, and that you can't walk through with anybody else but Jesus. Well, I'm glad I go here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.